After I struggled last week so much to get up into one of these chairs, maybe it's better that I stand this week. But I want to just remind us of what we're doing over the course of January. We're having this special series called Guess Who's Coming to Worship. And I've been really enjoying having interaction with our guests and thinking through some really critical areas, not all realms of where our faith engages with culture, but thinking through a couple of critical ones. We began on January 6th, thinking about stewardship, and we had Doug Fordham here from our denominational office, and he has a great perspective, and he shared with us his own story, growing up in India and so forth. So we talked about finances first, good stewardship. And then let's go to the next slide there. I think that was, yeah, there we are. That was January 6th. And then the next week we had Heath Meikle with us, friends of ours, and they're doing church planting on the east side of Vancouver. And we thought about what it means to, you know, evangelize and connect with a culture, particularly this area, but also, you know, what has that meant for us as a church? We've been a church plant. And I think we're past what we would be described as a church plant, but that's our heritage as well. And people have come to know Jesus through planting a church called Cornerstone Neighborhood Church. Today I want to welcome Mike and Karen Woodard. They are part of Family Life Canada. And I see that your tagline is Help for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. And I think that's kind of been my prayer for today, that we'll feel a sense of hope. This is not, we're going to talk about marriage, right? Marriage, I believe, is how it was said in the movie, right? Marriage. You don't know how many times I've stood at the front of a auditorium and the bride is coming down the aisle and I don't say marriage, you know, like in the movie, but I'm tempted to, I got to tell you. But we're going to talk about it. And I think sometimes it's like, okay, well, I'm not married. That doesn't have anything to do with me. And I would encourage you, keep listening, because you might be able to celebrate more what God is doing. Marriage isn't just for those that are in the marriage. It's a testimony to who God is in our world, right? And so we don't want to focus on Christian marriage just for those individuals that are in that marriage, but how it reflects God's glory. So we're all able to think about that today. And we've been thinking about how these different realms relate to our mission. So let's have a look at our mission again. And we might as well do what we've done the last couple of weeks. Let's say it together. Cornerstone is called to impact our world by living and sharing the life of Jesus. And so what does it mean to live and to share the life of Jesus in the marriage realm? Well, I was really excited probably 4 or 5 months ago to be online, and I discovered there was this ministry called Marriage Mentoring. And so I inquired, and Mike got a hold of me afterwards, and we had coffee, and we talked about it, and I thought, there's something very doable about this kind of ministry. And so that's why I was so excited to have this opportunity to invite you here. We know that marriages need strengthening. I don't know if you ever heard about the one husband's testimony. He said, you know, we're married for better or for worse. In fact, my wife tells me if it doesn't get a whole lot better, it's going to get a whole lot worse. I can think of, you know, my own journey. Lana and I grew up on different continents. How did we meet? And many of you know we used a dating site. It's called Prairie Bible College. And now we're kind of walking alongside a couple of couples. I think we're connecting tonight, right? With, you know, in the rear seats, that couple. And then we sometimes connect with this couple. And it's exciting to think of the adventure that they're on teasing certain people about the glint of their ring in the service and such things, right? It's exciting. But how do we come alongside and encourage and support? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But Mike and Karen, could you just maybe tell us a little bit about yourselves and how God has led you in your lives and how you came to have the perfect marriage?
Well, I would say that God's entrance into my life was... back in Michigan. I grew up in Michigan. And I would describe my growing up years as kind of the best of times and the worst of times. It was the best of times in that I grew up on a small farm. It was kind of like living in a petting zoo. We had just about every kind of animal, and we lived near a great river that was fun for swimming and inner tubing, all kinds of things. I'm the youngest of four, an older sister and two older brothers. So that was the best of times, but it was the worst of times in that my parents were both alcoholics. And so they would come home from a night out and get into fights. Sometimes we would even, as kids, would leave and go to the neighbors. Come back the next day and there would be broken furniture and dishes. And my mom ended up in the hospital, actually, as a result of the violence in our home. And during that time, there was like a cloud of despair descended on my life. And I really started to wonder if life was worth living. And around this time, my sister, who's the oldest, started going to this little country church. In fact, about the size of the auditorium here and the number of people. And she took me to church for the first time, and I had never heard the stories. And I'm with these other kids who have heard the stories all their lives, so I'm asking the questions. So I asked the teacher, you know, God made the world. Who made God? She sent me off to talk to the pastor but then my sister asked me a question that I didn't have an answer for. She asked me if I had ever invited Christ into my life. And I didn't know what that meant. And so I didn't say much. But the question was there. And a few weeks later, the pastor gave an invitation. He just said, if anyone wants to know how you can invite Christ into your life, to come up. And I remember teetering back and forth in the pew and my sister giving me the nod, you know. And so I came up and the pastor's wife explained what it meant in such a simple way. She talked, and I think the dots connected for me in that she talked about that God loved us, and I had always hoped that was true, and that we all sin and it creates a barrier between us and God. And I knew that was true. And then she went on to say that Jesus died on the cross, and I knew the story. I had heard the story. But then she said something that I hadn't understood, and that Jesus, I thought, you know, he died for the world. But then she said, Mike, Jesus died for you. And I just didn't think about it that way. And she explained that Christ knocks at the door of our hearts, and he wants to be invited in, but we have to invite him in. He doesn't break the door down. And so that day, I just prayed, and I asked Christ to come into my heart. And there were no lightning bolts from heaven, but it was like I felt so forgiven. And over the weeks and months, there was changes that started to take place. One is I just understood forgiveness, and I understood that God loved me. And the impact of that is still influencing me today, in that it has changed relationships. Because when you understand God's love and you understand God's forgiveness, you can extend that to other people around you. And a primary example of that was my dad. When I got to university, I was involved with a ministry, and one of the people that mentored me asked me to tell him about my family, and I did. And he said, you know, Mike, you need to love your father. And I said, I can't. And he said, just pray. Just ask God to put your love in his heart for him. So I began to pray. And, you know, the day came. It wasn't fast. It took a while. But the day came when I could look at my father and say to him, I love you. Those words were never spoken in the home that I grew up in. And when I said this to my father, he actually started to weep. And, sorry. That transformed our relationship. And we actually became friends. And it opened the opportunity to talk about Christ with him. And before he passed away, he did invite Christ into his life. And I think it all started with me understanding God's love and forgiveness. And it impacts every relationship we have.
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about after that. So Mike and I, we actually met each other in high school. My family moved to his hometown where he had been born. And so I knew him throughout high school. And then we both went to university. And it was about an hour away from where we lived. So it was natural to go there. It's very close. And it was during the years at university that Mike and I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and that's what it was called at that point. It's called CREW in the United States now. And so as students, we came in, Christian students, and for me, I was looking for fellowship. I grew up in the church. I was used to being around Christians, and I was at a secular university and looking for where I was going to feel like I could fit in. And that's where I came in contact with Campus Crusade for Christ. And then I actually invited Mike to one of the meetings once I had checked it out. And we both got involved.
Of course, I only went once initially. People smiled too much.
Oh, that's right.
I thought, oh, I don't know if I fit in here.
Okay. Anyway, it was a great place to land. And I was studying to be a teacher. Mike was studying in the area of biology, maybe to go into conservation. But we both felt God's call in our life to leave those plans behind and to come on staff with this organization that had had such a profound impact on both of our lives. So we started out being in the university ministry. We were there for many years. I'm not going to tell you how many because I don't want you to add up how old I am. But we were there for many years, and it's only been the last 8 years that we have transitioned into family life. And it's been great because Mike and I have been able to minister together, speak together, and just have a lot of fun with mentoring couples, both engaged and married couples. And so we are really enjoying these years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I know my wife and I were involved in a ministry with students. That was our first two sons who are at university. Actually, our oldest son met his wife similarly, not with Campus Crusade, but in InterVarsity. So we're aware of that. And in fact, I'll give a little commercial. Next Sunday, this is a bit of a spoiler alert. Guess who's coming to worship? It will be all of our young adults who are involved in education. We're going to be talking about education next week. So I want you to hear what God is doing in their lives. And some of them are going on missions trips and so forth. So stay tuned for that next week. But obviously we're talking about marriage today, and I've seen campus ministry leaders transition into marriage ministry because that's where a lot of your students meet each other and get married and so forth, mm-hmm. just like your own experience. But maybe just tell us, before we get into the nuts and bolts of your ministry, a little bit of your heartbeat for marriage and what you know, as you encounter God's word, what are the things that you're seeing as top priorities and for a healthy marriage?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I am convinced the way you, Brent, you described marriage at the beginning of the service is that it's an environment that God uses as a place to show himself to the individuals and to the family and to the world around him, if lived out in a way that represents that. It's also a place where you kind of have this, and every married couple will identify with this, an iron sharpening iron relationship where God can use it to make us better together and to cause us to move into oneness together. And that's, there's always sparks when you have an iron sharpening iron dynamic. And so our desire, our passion is that people would understand God's love and forgiveness. They would experience that in their relationship, and they would really be a blessing to each other. And also they would be a blessing to the world around them, to be kind of a showcase for God in their lives, because it will show up.
Yeah, today won't be so much a lecture on what marriage is and sort of a biblical exposition of marriage, but we're going to zero in on a tool, this idea of marriage mentoring. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you, if you wouldn't mind, just sort of outlining what is marriage mentoring?
Want to go ahead?
Sure. So it's couple on couple, once a month for about 2 hours each time, journeying together with another couple. And you're going to hear a little bit more about this in the video. But it's basically helping couples know that what they're going through is normal. A lot of times you go through stuff and you don't have any frame of reference as a couple. And couples can think, you know, our marriage is falling apart. We've had that happen where a husband phoned Mike and said, my marriage is falling apart. What am I going to do? And Mike calmed him down and just said, what you're going through is normal. And here are some things that you can do. And there was just a sigh of relief on the phone, you know. So, and one couple came to us at our church and said, you know, we've been married 20 years. We're not going to get a divorce, but we are stuck. And so we really need some help. And they were stuck in some bad patterns. And often in marriage, we start out with some bad patterns and they get ingrained and then people break up because they just can't stand it anymore. Where if they just learn, like this couple did, to relate to each other a little differently, he was basically hiding away from her because she was a little bit verbally aggressive.
Yeah.
And she didn't realize the effect she was having on him because he just didn't want to fight. So he would just go hide out and hope that she wouldn't find him. But, you know, the cool thing is that she finally got it after times of us getting together. And she said, oh, now I think I get it. You know, and I'm sure he breathed a sigh of relief, too, because he really did want to communicate with her, but just needed to, for her to tone it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm convinced that marriage is a journey. You know, God gives us a picture of we're to treat each other as Christ, the church, and the dynamic that's related to that seems like a kind of an impossible future. But I'm convinced there's a journey that we're on to move in that direction towards oneness, towards representing Christ in the world. And what mentoring is coming alongside another couple and really journeying and helping them understand that, you know, what they're facing is pretty normal. And to be kind of a cheerleader for them, too, just to congratulate and encourage them in the journey as they go on. And it's a conversational model. Questions and discussion. It's not counseling.
Are you doing the video?
Should we do the video now?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
Okay, we've got a short video that we're going to show you. And these are actually two couples from our home church who experienced mentoring, and they talk a little bit about it in the video.
As I think back to when we were first married, I had this attitude that life was going to be perfect. I had all my ducks in a row. I got married. I got a job. Everything was going to be great. And when it wasn't great, I felt discouraged.
Blair and I were pretty fortunate because we had a couple that was basically a season ahead of us. And when we were discouraged or frustrated, we just talked about it. I just feel like I would like other couples to benefit from that same experience, because there were days where we would call them up and go, it's not really as good as we thought it would be.
I was looking for some support and somebody who would have a bit of wisdom to offer us as a couple and some of the issues we were going through.
We were a little bit nervous just to open up our lives that way and to share things that we wouldn't normally share to other people.
We are probably one season ahead of them in life. That's a great thing because you've already been there, and so you can kind of say, yeah, that's normal. We did that. You know, don't worry about that. That'll pass.
They didn't make me feel like there was something wrong with me. And they were so honest about their own marriage, too, to say, you know, we don't have a perfect marriage either.
Being mentored has really given our relationship more hope than it felt like when we came into it. Because things were getting a little bit rough and seeming insurmountable for a while. Hearing about the seasons that they've gone through and that there are times, hard times, for every marriage.
Then you start feeling like, okay, maybe we can work through this because they've been able to work through it. We can too.
Every time that you focus on your marriage, every time that you have intentional conversation, it improves your marriage. It's a tweak. It's just a fine-tuning.
I think it's important to stress these are not counseling sessions. These are just two couples that are sharing life together.
It's not long. It's not hard. The commitment is 1 year, meeting once a month for approximately 2 hours.
You spend 2 hours sitting and watching a movie, that's kind of wasted time if you think about it. So actually investing that 2 hours with another couple and trying to help them along, I find that very fulfilling.
I think everyone would benefit from being mentored. It doesn't take your marriage falling apart or an imminent divorce to benefit from having another couple just walk alongside you and be that support and that encouragement to you. Every marriage has something to give. You've all walked different journeys. You've all experienced different things. And what you've walked through has value in the life of somebody else.
So I told Mike it was really fun to see that video for the first time because Lolita, that was featured there, was a classmate of mine. We were on a leadership team together at Bible school. So Lana and I, our own testimony of being mentored kind of came about out of a crisis. It was a ministry crisis we had, and we literally said, who can we talk to this night? We were in tears. It was a very difficult experience, and we knocked on the door of colleagues in the town we were living in, pastoral colleagues. They were a season or two ahead of us, and they helped us. They helped talk us off the ledge that night with our ministry issue. But then that began, I think we met every 3 weeks or every month or so, and it was, I mean, it was a double blessing because we usually had pie, and and they really became, though we didn't sort of realize what we were doing, but they became our marriage mentors. Mm-hmm. So that was very nice that we fell into that. But maybe you can tell us a little bit, like, how does it come together, and then maybe how does it address some of the common challenges of marriage? Because I really loved what was said, that you don't have to wait until a crisis point. This is a tweaking and an encouraging along the journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this the marriage mentoring strategy that we have is really intended to fit the gap. Most churches have premarital, and most will have some kind of crisis opportunity to deal with challenges. But we're kind of saying, let's fit in the gap. So it's designed for people who have been married for a couple years to 50 years. And it's really a proactive step. It's not counseling. It's just to come alongside couples. And one example for us was we had a couple from our church who said, we want you to mentor us. And they were older than us. And so we started mentoring them. And one of the discussions that we had, because we cover, you know, conflict and communication, spirituality, family traditions, and money. And they wanted to talk about money. So we're talking, and as they explain it, it became very apparent the husband was very careful with money. In fact, the wife didn't have a bank account. They're an older couple. And the husband actually went with the wife to buy everything, including her underwear. And so we're listening to this, and I'm thinking, oh, dear. And the husband is saying to me, I am the head of the house. And so, okay, and I'm just praying. And so I just asked the question, you know, as the head of the house, do you think you could delegate authority to your wife to have some finances to buy things? He looked at me, he looked at his wife, then he looked back at me and he said, I must trust my wife. And it was like this breakthrough. The wife practically cried, and then they embraced each other. It was just, and kissed, yeah, it was kind of right in front of us, yeah. And so it was kind of this moment where we just have the joy of, by asking questions and bringing things out in kind of a safe environment, that they can deal with some of these issues that they have. And it's actually really fun to be a part of that.
So the way you get something like this started, it can start with one couple who wants to mentor another couple. At our church, we probably have up to about a dozen mentor couples now, but it's taken time to get there. But people in our church, for instance, who want to be mentored, can go on our website and request a mentor. Now, it means that each of the couple, the husband and the wife, need to fill out some information to show that they are both interested, because we've tried it before where one really says we need to do this and the other one says I'm not so sure, and those don't work. But they both apply, and then we give them a mentor couple in our church. And like Mike said, it's only for a year. It's not a forever commitment. It's a catch and release is what Neil and Cheryl call it. Those are our directors. Even though we have stayed close to some of the couples we've mentored, and John and Katie are one of those couples, do we want to have them come and share a little bit about it too, their experience?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, come on up.
So John and Katie are one of the first couples that we went through the mentoring with. So we met them about once a month. And in the mentoring, we covered a topic they chose from the list of topics. There's about 14. And after discussing the topic, they were given, there was kind of some projects that they could choose one to work on during the month before we got together again. And now, just to give you a little bit of an idea of their lives, John is in the film industry. He's a lighting engineer for productions. And Katie's a nurse, an emergency room nurse, and an instructor now.
Just become an instructor, yeah.
So tell us why you wanted to get involved in mentoring and just how it impacted you as a couple.
Okay, so we went to multiples of the weekend getaway.
Oh, sorry.
Of course.
I don't really like to talk in public, but
so we went to the Weekend to Remember, and they had promoted the marriage mentoring, and we've had a rough marriage, and right from the get-go, we're a blended family, and so there was lots of excitement in the beginning, and we decided we wanted to be part of potentially mentoring, and yeah.
And so when you said you wanted to be a part of mentoring, what attracted you to that idea?
I think with mentoring, we had a passion for marriages, and we had a lot to offer because we had been through so much in our own marriage. Even though we were still kind of, at that point, I think we were only married for 10 years-ish. So because we've been through it with blended families and people coming through in our house like a revolving door that we've taken care of and taken in over time, and then just having multiple kids. We have five.
So that's multiple.
Plus two adopted babies. So it's been amazing to get to know people and have those people in your house. And we've been mentoring and modeling in our own house, so we wanted to do that outside of our house as well. And but I think when we first went to the marriage mentorship program that they had going at Family Life Canada, we decided that it would be better if we were mentored first. And and Mike and Karen proposed that they be our mentors.
Yeah, so John and Katie actually came to our training. It's a 3-hour training to help people get into mentoring. And after listening to that, they said, yeah, we want to do this, but we want to be mentored first. So as we met with you, what was your experience? What impacted you? How did it shape your dynamic of communication?
I'll start. I'm very shut off when it comes to parts of my marriage that I don't want to reveal. It's kind of like if you picture a house and all the rooms in the house with light and darkness. So you have in the basement where all the storage stuff is, you barely go down there, you never turn on the lights. That's where I like to keep all my stuff. So for me, it was more difficult to talk about my stuff, but my wife, on the other hand, has no problem opening the door and showing the world. So it was good for me to get things off my chest, as well as to start to think about some stuff. And Mike and Karen really challenged us in a few areas. And I remember going home after Mike and Karen's place and arguing the whole way home. We had a half an hour drive. And then not speaking to each other for the next day.
Okay, you're supposed to be promoting marriage mentoring.
But it was great because those things would have never come to light if we didn't have an opportunity to talk about it with Mike and Karen in a safe place. So that was something that was really valuable to us.
So for that not speaking part, that actually is what he needs to process. I'm a quick processor. I'm a high communicator. I want to get everything out. I want to put everything on the table. And as he said, he's quite closed off. So having Mike there became almost safe for him to be talking about things, because like Karen, it sounded like she was talking about me in the last session. Just I'm an aggressive communicator. And so sometimes he would shut down because I already knew what I thought and felt. And so with Mike there, it was kind of a place where Jonathan could kind of test the waters and know whether what he was thinking or feeling was normal, and whether he could kind of move along bringing up topics that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been touched, or wouldn't have been touched until they exploded, as opposed to sifting them out when we're still in a good place and we can, you know, that yes, we went home and had a disagreement on the way home, and I proposed to him that maybe he should think about that a little more and we should talk about it. And that was intimidating to him, but it was nice because we weren't already fighting about something else and then it came up. It was up and we were working through it. And even if it came up after an argument or whatever, we had already started the progress of kind of to resolve those issues that we otherwise would have stayed hidden and just been another, you know, scoop on the pile of fighting or arguing or disagreement or separation. It would have just been another thing that would have separated us or moved us further apart. And I just felt like it just kind of initiated those conversations before. Like they said, it's just maintenance. It's not. And sometimes, yeah, sometimes it revved things up that otherwise you'd be like, wow, and especially him because he's an avoider. it was a good place to bring these issues up just preemptively.
Okay. Well, the Jonathan and Katie, one thing you said to us once before was that it sometimes led to a 3-hour conversation to unpack some of the things that we started together. But also you mentioned that it provided an environment for an objective set of eyes and ears, so you could pour out some of those things to help reflect back to you where you're at and how to process. Now, you guys have started mentoring a few couples. How's that? What's your experience there, and what would you recommend mentoring to from your journey to the people here?
I think it's an amazing honor to be coming alongside another couple in their marriage and just developing that relationship and the trust together. I think that I feel like those struggles feel like they're worth it. Like, you've come together and you can be like, and it shows you actually in your own marriage, just to be like totally selfish, but shows you in your own marriage how far you've come, because these are issues that you guys have overcome together. And you can, I don't know, I feel like coming alongside another couple actually brings your own marriage closer together, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think too that it helps with modeling in terms of the fellowship and discipleship model that Christ has set for us. And we get to model that for our children now as well. And they're always looking for avenues to help their friends or their other kids and stuff like that. And we see that through our kids now, because there's a certain security or safety within our marriage that they know that this doesn't get separated at all, that we're a bonded unit. And I think people see that with us in our marriage, the people that we're mentoring, and they realize that it's not about segregation. It's not about coming at a fight from opposite ends of the table. It's coming from the same side of the table to argue it together at the problem instead of against each other.
Great. Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for sharing about this. And we're going to be out in the lobby area, so feel free to ask questions about this. And Jonathan's point, I really think marriage mentoring is a discipleship model where you're coming alongside and encouraging and discipling another couple in their walk with God and their walk with each other.
Yeah, and you're not just giving them hints to help their marriage be better, but you're also encouraging them to be Christ-centered, because we all know how hard marriage is, and unless God helps us, no matter how many good ideas we give you, it's not going to work. You got to have the unselfishness of Christ in a marriage, and that glorifies him.
Couple mentor, and as I thought about it, I thought, well, this would be really easy. We'll just tell them the way we do marriage, and then if they do the opposite, then it would be golden, right? But I mean, I do say that to get into this idea, because I've got a closing question that we kind of touched on. What does marriage mentoring do in the life of the mentors? But I'm going to expand that to what does marriage mentoring do in the life of the church? Because one of the things I think about as a pastor is, and maybe you're thinking about, we talk about, we want our church to be authentic. We want our church to be real. We want our church to be non-threatening. And we want our church to be, you know, have vibrant relationships. And if I'm struggling in my marriage, I better not say anything, right? And we wait then. That gets stuffed. And then crisis comes.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard about marriage mentoring and the blessing that we experienced, how we were helped along, I thought, this seems like such an accessible tool,
mm-hmm,
to spread an attitude in the church that it's almost like, let's give each other permission to not have it all together,
mm-hmm,
but to encourage forward. So maybe talk about that. How does it impact the life of a congregation?
Yeah. Confidentiality is a big thing. We've grown up in the church, and so we know sometimes when you share stuff, it gets passed around, and that's why people don't share, even in care groups. Like, we're part of a care group, and we had a couple say to us once, let's meet for lunch or coffee or whatever, and they said, what we're going to share with you, we would never share in the context of our care group, because we trust you, but we don't necessarily trust everybody else in the group. So that's the major challenge for your church, is as you mentor couples, you need to be able to keep things confidential. It's not your story to tell, it's their story to tell if they want to share it, and they're giving you the honor of hearing their holy mess, believing that you will keep it in confidence. And encourage them, you know, towards a wholeness in their marriage. So the one couple I told you about that's been married 20 years, and no, it's not you, Katie, but she said, okay, one criteria, you are not going to tell anybody else in the church that you're mentoring us. That's how afraid she was of the stigma. You know, they would say, oh, well, they're getting mentored, so there must be something wrong with their marriage. And that's the stigma that sometimes we feel. But the reality is there's something wrong with all of our marriages. Okay, so let's just get over it.
Well, and also people respond in different ways. There's another couple being mentored, and they put it on Facebook. They said, wow, we're having so much fun with this. So it really, really varies. But one of the things that we communicate is mentors do not have a perfect marriage. They just have healthy marriages. So they're growing, they're dealing with their stuff, and they're just encouraging others as they grow and deal with their stuff. And we tell stories in the mentoring, and we ask the couples that we're talking to, okay, we will give you confidentiality, but you need to give us confidentiality too, as we tell you our stories of struggles along the way. And it just makes us better. You know, as we mentor others, we're better.
The other thing that I want to emphasize, we don't have to start a new department of our church. We just encourage these unique and helpful relationships to get started. So if you'd like to listen to this material again, we'll have it online. Just go to sermons, and then we'll have, as usual, a document there, Digging Deeper. And it's got some resources for you. Marriage Mentoring Initiative, you can learn about that. Of course, you can talk to Mike and Karen here today. They're going to be at their display table upstairs here. And you have some sample material.
Mm-hmm.
There's training times that you can ask Mike about when to get some training. And then if there was enough interest, we could do some training here with some folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to talk to you if you have more questions as well. We've also got going to have some resources listed there. I brought two books. I'll get Mike to hold those up. First of all, Sacred Marriage. And these are by the same author, Gary Thomas. Lana and I are reading Well, I'm actually doing the reading. She's listening. And we sit, and this is kind of new for us because we've processed a lot of material and a lot of books as individuals, but we haven't read a book together that well before. So we're making our way through that one called Cherish, and it's really hitting us hard. Lana's learning a lot. And, no, you know the opposite is true, right? But we also have a link for you to a workshop. And also, Mike, why don't you close off with, tell us about your book and also about not the workshop, but the conference that's coming up. Yeah.
Sure. After joining Family Life, it was like a university degree. I had worked with singles all my life, pretty much. And we moved to Family Life. So I'd read all kinds of books and stuff. So I put together a book. And it was just kind of gleaning. It's called 52 Insights for Couples, Love That Lasts. And what it's intended to be is 52 conversations that once a week, just simple little tips to get you talking to one another. Because I'm pretty convinced as you open the doors, conversation, God uses that to make you better. In fact, I want to give these away. Newlyweds. Any newlyweds in the room? Anybody been married for less than 5 years? Oh, there you go. So how long have you been married? Two and a half, and you guys? Oh, you're just newlyweds by...
Another couple back there, too.
Anybody?
How long have you been married? Year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay, here's a copy for you. And we'll give one to the other couple that's been married two and a half, too. And then, anybody married 25? Right around that mark? 26? Anybody closer? 29? Well, we're going to give this to 26... So here's a copy for you. See, I forgot to tell you the fine print. By receiving the book, you have to have coffee once a week with your spouse and read one of the questions. So, and you can't give it back, so you're committed now. There you go.
The nice thing is that Mike has no way of following up on you, so just relax and enjoy.
And then in Abbotsford, in the month coming up, you're going to have a conference.
Yeah, we're doing a conference in Abbotsford Friday night, Saturday. Friday night's all about marriage. There's two tracks. One's the seminar is called Seasons of Marriage, because marriage goes through various seasons. And it's a great workshop, 2 hours on Friday night, and a blended track for blended families. The church that's hosting is providing hors d'oeuvres at 6:30, and so it's a great evening.
And childcare.
But yeah. It's first come, first serve, yeah. So sign up quick if you want to do that. And then Saturday's all about parenting. It's parenting from grandparenting to parenting teens and discipline, a bunch of topics. There's two main sessions, three workshops, and each workshop there's four different options. And we got some great speakers lined up. And so I'd really encourage you to
join. So that's February 22nd and 23rd. That's a Friday night and a Saturday. So
yep. Come join us. We'll be there.
So it's called This Day Forward. And how do they sign up?
Go online, Family Life Canada website, familylifecanada.com, and you can register right online. It's under events.
Yeah, and we have those links for you on the Digging Deeper document that's attached to our sermon, our audio, if you want to listen again. But thank you so much. Why don't we just express our appreciation to these couples?
Yeah.
I want to ask God's blessing on marriage and on this ministry. I think it's so doable in our context and in many contexts, and so helpful. So let's just bow in prayer, and then David, why don't you lead us in our closing songs and then close our time in prayer. And, I'll just mention, you'll see at the very end on the slides a reminder of our discipleship strategy conversation. I just wanted to remind you that's ongoing. We are going to try and get our group together. If you've been involved in working on that, I'd love to have you involved in our next steps. And so I emailed a number of you that we're going to try and meet next Saturday. I'm not sure if that's going to work. So we'll try and find a better time. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for our gathering today here. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the way you are the ultimate model of marriage. We know there's a number of metaphors in the scripture of where you have been husband to Jerusalem, or you have described your love to us in a wonderful way through the image of marriage. And you've given marriage to us for pleasure, for enjoyment, for companionship. But we pray that you'd really help us to zero in on how healthy marriages can be a wonderful testimony to who you are and your restoring power in this world. We think of Mike's own story of restoration and reconciliation. And it was not because he discovered amazing marriage principles, but because he discovered the redeeming love of Jesus. And we pray that it would be the redeeming love of Jesus, the ultimate payment price, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. I pray we would see that as central, not just to us knowing you, but us knowing our spouse and living in a healthy marriage relationship. We pray your blessing on Mike and Karen as they encourage people, for John and Katie as they mentor, for us as we contemplate how we can make use of this very cool resource to strengthen marriages at Cornerstone. Bless us today. May you know that we love you and that we want to follow you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.